I come to you today with a sermon title that asks the question, will it be me? We begin our message today with God looking down upon the world at this particular point in time. And while God is admiring all that he had created, his attention was drawn to two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, not for the good that they have done or the way that the people were living, but by the lifestyle that they had adopted, a lifestyle that was filled with evil and hatred and anger, a lifestyle that was filled with lies and sexual immorality and gossip and cruelty towards one another and towards anybody else who they encountered along the way. After a time of discernment, God came to the conclusion that something had to happen. Something had to be done to address this situation that had been brought to his attention. And it is with this in mind that God took two of his angels, who he had already assigned a task to go on a special assignment, to be his eyes and his ears, to be first-hand witnesses to see what was actually going on in this place that he had heard about. So after telling Abraham and Sarah that they were going to be the father and the mother of a great nation, the angels prepared to set out to do that special assignment that God had tasked them with, to see exactly what was going on in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. After their time with Abraham and Sarah had completed, the angels got up to take their leave. They looked down toward Sodom and began to walk, and Abraham accompanied them as most people would. And as they were walking along the road together, the Lord spoke. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham, what I'm about to do? Knowing that the descendants of Abraham would become a great and powerful nation, knowing that they would be a blessing to all of the nations in the earth, wondering if Abraham needed to know this because his descendants may be impacted by the evil that was taking place in there. Knowing that they might be an influence on this nation that's now being born and give them improper guidance and direction to follow. So the Lord said, I have chosen him, Abraham, to direct the children of his household in a particular way, to keep them in the way of the Lord by doing what is right, by doing what is just. And so it was with that he said, I have to keep them pure and away from these things so that Abraham can fulfill the promise that I made with him. And so then the Lord decided, let me tell Abraham what's really going on. He went to Abraham and he said, and I quote, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin is so grievous that I will go down and see what they have done, to see if it's as bad as the outcry that has reached my ears. And if it's not true, I will know. With that, the two angels turned, they walked away, and made their way down to the city of Sodom. But Abraham didn't go anywhere. He needed to process something. And beloved people of God, this next conversation that takes place between Abraham and God is one of my favorite conversations in the entire Bible. Here's why. It begins with Abraham taking a deep breath, looking up to God and saying, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people who are living amongst those in that city? Would you sweep them away along with the ones who you want to deal with in such a way? Far be it from me to believe that you, a righteous judge, God of all, would do such a thing. Of course, God said, no, I will not destroy the city if there are 50 righteous people to be found. And then the conversation gets a little funny, because then Abraham says, well, Lord, now that I got your attention, let me just say this. What if we don't find exactly 50 people? What if it's 5 less? Would you destroy them, even if we found 45 good people there? God said, no. And God has a lot of patience, because then Abraham comes back and says, well, now that I have your attention, I'm probably not worthy to have this conversation with you, but let me just push it a little bit more. What if you find 40 people? God, I can only imagine him taking a deep breath going, yes, Abraham, if I find 40 good people, I will not destroy the city. Okay, God, what about 30? Now, I give God a lot of credit, because by the time we got to 40, I'd have been done with this conversation. But he went a little bit further to 30, and then 20, and then 10. And then finally the conversation ended. Well, beloved, you all know, most of you know how this story ends. When the angels got there, they couldn't find 10 people. They couldn't find 5 people. All they found was Lot and his family. And so the angels spared them, and God ultimately ended up destroying the city with raining fire from heaven. But now, the reason why I love this story so much is because, first, you have Abraham asking God to have compassion on a people who he had dealings with in the past, a people who had kidnapped his nephew, stole all his nephew's worth, sold him, his nephew rather, into slavery. His nephew was Lot. And yet, he still begged that God not destroy them. Pure compassion. And then the other part of the story that I love is the fact that God was so patient with him. God didn't tell him, look, enough is enough. He heard the whole story. He let Abraham pour his heart out, and he was willing to comply and to allow Abraham's wish to be granted. And yet, there's still a part of me that believes that even as this story is accounted in this part of the Bible, God already knew that there were no good people to be found in those cities. And that brings us to today. Beloved people of God, I can't help but to wonder, if God were to once again look down upon this world from his seat in heaven, and look at the wonderful work of his hands, all of the things he created from the beginning of time as we understand it, what would God see? Would God be pleased with what he sees? Or would God find himself in a similar situation that he was in the story that we read just a short while ago, trying to decide what to do with the people of this world who had once again become corrupt as the ones that we read about? Well, beloved people of God, no matter what God sees when he looks upon this world today, the most important question that we need to wrestle with is, will it be me? Will it be me who the Lord will find worthy enough to spare this entire planet from destruction? Will it be me who will find favor in the Lord's eyes because of the way that we've lived and the way that we've treated our fellow human being? Will it be me who God will look upon with favor and set me apart as he did with Lot from punishment? The punishment that society as a whole has earned from being corrupt. The only way that you'll be able to answer yes to this question is by following the words that God gave us in our New Testament reading, which goes, and I quote, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in strength and the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depends upon human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than Christ. Simply put, follow Christ, and don't let your lives be influenced by all the stuff that you hear around you, and in the news, and in the paper, and in popular society, and in the pop culture, and all pop culture, and all those things. Beloved people of God, we know what God expects of us. And we also know that God will hold us accountable for the things that we do. But here's the challenge. God knows that we're going to mess up. God knows that we're going to do things that are wrong in his eyes. God knows that there are none perfect among us. At this point, I would probably put some of you on the spot and ask, if you have not made a mistake today, raise your hand, but I don't think I'd get too many hands raised. And yet, what God looks for is not how we mess up, but what we do after we mess up. And so it means putting aside those things that are selfish, putting aside those things that are self-serving, and doing only what is pleasing to ourselves, and changing our lives around, and doing what we know is pleasing and acceptable to God. And here's the little bit of a sort of nudge on the shoulder. If you're not quite sure what all of that means, here's where we begin. Take a trip back into your scriptures. Take a look at the Ten Commandments. Read them over. Use that as a guideline to get you started. It won't get you into a place of salvation, but it'll get you into a place where you can at least live in harmony and in peace with those around you. And then after that, take a moment and go to God in prayer. And this is where the challenge comes in. This is where our children's sermon came in. Go to God and ask God for the guidance so that you can live into the things that you've learned. Ask God to help you to fix those things that make you uncomfortable, to fix those things that put you in a place where you know that you should not be. And we all end up there from time to time. But the cool part about it is the God that we serve, the God that we love, the God who loves us, always makes a way so that we can turn our lives around. And so, beloved, will it be me? The only way you can answer yes to that question is by living your life in a way that is truly pleasing and acceptable to God. And then, when all things are said and done, when we take that last breath and we stand before the Lord and the question is, will it be me who will hear the words that God will say, good and faithful servant, welcome home. You found yourself in the right place. And so, beloved, will it be you? I leave that for you to ponder. I leave that for you to wrestle with. I leave that for you to live into. Amen? Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the reminders that we do need to, every now and then, go back and revisit the scriptures and go back to you in prayer and to continually to make corrections in our lives so that we are truly pleasing in your sight. Lord, help us to do these things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.